to find a manufacturing like that, it took years. And then the way that I found it was I was coming out of a meeting in New York City. One of my buddies had a guy who used to work in Walmart, and he was on the ground in China and Korea, and he would work with manufacturers from there. And that meeting in New York was for the person that we got set up with. And it fell through. We went through that. Yeah, we don't want to work with you. I come out. We're in the middle of the city. I was getting a bite to eat, I think, at like Chipotle or something. And we come out, and these two ladies were at the table. They were showing swatches of clothing. And we're like, we just come out of a meeting for manufacturing to develop products. Like, do you guys do anything like that? And she's like, actually, yeah, I own a manufacturing company out in China, and she lives in Florida, and I'm here meeting with a potential client. And from there, we exchanged numbers, and that gave me the chance to birth Higher Level and be able to build my product.
What's up? My name is CJ Finley, and this is the Thrive on Life podcast. I started a brand called Thrive on Life to help other mission-based people, brands, and businesses thrive. Each week, we interview people on topics of business, health, relationships, mindset, and much more to help us thrive in all areas of life. If the messages in this podcast resonate with you, but you're still feeling a little bit stuck in actually implementing these ideas, I'd love to help you on a more personalized level or connect you with somebody that can. So please reach out. Also, if you've got a friend who you know could benefit from hearing this episode, please share the love with them. My goal is always to spread positive impact through the sharing of knowledge, and I would be honored if you could help me achieve this goal. What is up, Thrive Fam? CJ Finley here again with another episode of the Thrive on Life podcast. And today I'm excited to introduce you to Mr. Joey Schultz. He is new to Austin, Texas. He's an up-and-coming entrepreneur, athlete, brand builder, and I'm excited for this conversation. But before we get into it, the first question I have for you here today, Joey, is how the fuck you doing, man?
Good, man. Dude, it's great to be here in Austin, and it's great to meet so many people and just being able to grow as a person, grow as an entrepreneur, and then find myself in like in these situations. You know, CJ and I met, what was it, like a week ago? And I'm sitting here in your living room today doing a podcast. It's just like wild to me.
Yeah. I mean, that's why you moved to Austin, Texas, right?
Yeah. So moving, I came here 10 days ago, about maybe 11 days ago, like March 11th, I came here. Okay, maybe a little bit over than that. But I drove 27 hours, me and my girlfriend here. And coming to Austin has been a dream of mine for, I would say, like 2.5 years. When I first initially found out about Austin, Texas, was through Nick Baer, through BPN, and kind of his journey building a business here. And I knew, no matter what it took for me to get here, I was going to get to Austin. So it's like a dream coming to reality, sitting here, being in Austin, and being in the community.
Where did you come from? Like, where did you drive from that 27 hours?
So I grew up in Central Jersey. A lot of people say it's not a thing, but I grew up right near Princeton, right near Rutgers, a town called Hillsborough. And I lived there my whole life. And being in social media, there's a lot of people, whether or not that be Austin, Florida, like Cali, West Coast areas, there's these areas that everybody comes together, health and wellness scene. And it was super important for me to grow a business and grow as a person, an entrepreneur, to get somewhere where it was local, that a lot of people were doing it. And in New Jersey, it's hard to meet that many people that are doing the same thing that I'm doing. Being a creator, you have to go to like New York or Philly, and that's just like not tangible for me. It's about like 2 hours, hour and a half away. So drove there from New Jersey to Austin, 27 hours. We took a layover in Nashville, Tennessee with my girlfriend. And it was just a crazy trip trying to get here. There's a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress. But yeah, so that's where I'm from in Jersey.
Well, I know that feeling. I grew up in Burlington Township, which I told you. So
yeah,
that's like 25 minutes from the Princeton area. And I actually went to Rutgers, and it's interesting to me because like I have no understanding of what that area of the country is like now during like what I would call the social media boom and creative boom. When I was there,
Instagram didn't have stories. It was literally just like posted a beer. I don't think TikTok existed. YouTube wasn't something that people aspired to be. Like nobody was, I'm going to be a YouTuber. It was just places where you dump videos.
Yeah.
So it's wild to think about how the world changes when new technology and tools come about. Mm-hmm. And for me, like Austin is one of the places I consider to be like the gold rush of creativity and entrepreneurship. And I love hearing about how other people have heard about it from other places. And it just so happens that I'm very familiar with where you were. What was the landscape around you in terms of people understanding why you were moving and mm-hmm. what you were doing?
Well, first off, I would think like the people close to me, my family, my friends, I think that they still don't understand why I moved here. It was like a really hard thing to present to my mom and my dad, and then also my girlfriend. Some of my close friends, they understand, they're kind of like in the game where they're in social media. They grew up with me in college and they understand why I'm moving from that aspect. But my mom and my dad, they don't really understand like the social media scene where it's being as a content creator. Both of them are entrepreneurs, but they are from New Jersey. They never moved out of Jersey. They never explored the world. And at the end of the day for me, I feel that if, you know, I had to do something that was outside of my box to push myself to grow as a person. And at the end of the day, CJ, dude, if I don't like Austin, I can always go back to my hometown. I can always do something different. I can move some other place. And for them to understand that fact, because they've never done it themselves, it's hard to conceptualize and visualize for themselves. So they kind of have to live through me as a person and as I do it as a young kid and see as a parent, because I think it's, as a parent, you never stop learning. Your kids are always teaching you new things. And me being a driven individual, trying to figure out what I want to do in my life, where I want to be, where I want to grow roots. And I think they're accepting it more and more as a parent. And they're just learning as much as I learn in the process as I go. So I think it was hard for them. But then my brothers, I think they understand because they're in the scene where they grew up like a few years apart from me. And they understand the power of being in a community where you can thrive with the same people that are doing the same type of things. And so they're like, hell yeah, Joey, like that's awesome, dude. And we'll support you in any which way that's possible. Come down and visit you, or, you know, maybe move out to Texas. But yeah.
I love that. And I think that, thank you for sharing. I think it's a story that a lot of people, especially that have moved to Austin, understand. It's a city of transplants. And mm-hmm. a lot of the people in our, I would say, silo, our little bubble, have moved here, and their family and their parents and the friends that they moved away from, it's difficult to describe what you're trying to do until years later when you can show. You essentially have a portfolio. And that was the same thing for me, especially like I was going down this other path. I got an engineering degree and started going the corporate path, and on paper was setting myself up for a great life, quote unquote. Yeah. And then like within 1 year, hard fucking pivot. And it was essentially like, what the hell are you doing? Because I'm almost going on 10 years, and creator wasn't a word yet. Like, it wasn't a thing. Like you couldn't, and the influencer marketing was just starting to become a thing, but I saw it, and I was, especially with kind of my addiction to systems and like what I love to do most, which is scale things and put one quarter in, get 10 quarters out. Yeah. Like that's how I've always thought. Whether it's like videos or literally fitness, how to maximize speed, strength, how to get the most out of life. That's where Thrive on Life comes from. And it was so hard to describe that 10 years ago. And the funny thing is though, people start to understand as soon as you start giving them free shit.
Yeah.
As soon as I started like sending different products to people or they would come to my house, like literally some of my buddies would visit from elsewhere.
Yeah.
And I would have stacks of clothes that that were minimally worn because I would just get different clothes from different brands.
Huge.
And I would just give them the clothes and my brother and my parents. And exactly. Even like we have Powerlift here. It's like my parents love Powerlift. Mm-hmm. And they started understanding as soon as like it was tangible to them. It was like, oh, you produce these things or you help these brands or you consult in this way. And then it helps them do ABC. And then this is the chain reaction of that. And yeah. They start to understand it. And then they start to understand me better. So the only reason I'm telling you that is like, as you get here and plant roots and you start to show what it is you're doing, mm-hmm. it's much easier for somebody to conceptualize. And I want to flip that because I feel like one of the things that I did in the past, which was like, I was like almost hurt by the people that didn't understand, man, if you came here and you work in some job and you expect me to understand, like, I don't understand, like, unless I actually physically see what you're doing on a daily basis. So that's where it's one of those things where we can't expect people to understand unless we are educating and showcasing like, hey, this is what I'm doing on a daily basis. And this is what I'm passionate about. And I'm very excited because you're in the best place in my eyes on earth
yes.
to be doing that. So I'd love to jump into like really just how you came here with this dream in mind and with this idea of what you want your life to be. How has it been so far? Just the first 2 weeks.
It's been a crazy journey. I've met the first week of being in Texas, in Austin, I've met over 50 people from being run clubs to going to gyms that have people have similar interests. And in Jersey, most of the time that it would just be me. Like I would be filming content. I would be in my room grinding, editing, and maybe like 15 hours I would be of the day. I would just be alone. And coming here the first 10 days, I met people that I've wanted to meet for so long, guys like Matt Choi. He had a guy visit him named Johnny Davies. He's from London. And I was like, dude, I would not have the opportunity to meet somebody like Johnny and have the perspective where he tells me his stories of him traveling the world to Dubai, to India, to London, him running the length of the tube in London. And meeting all these types of people where they give me certain perspectives I wouldn't have in New Jersey. And it kind of solidifies why I should be here. You know, I think it's so important to network, to build a community. And in turn, that will lead to pretty much whatever you want to do, whether that be social media, that be business, that be opening up a certain store. As long as you are putting yourself in situations where you can make that happen, it's always going to be something that could be tangible for you. And that's what it's been like being in Austin for the first 2 weeks. And I love it so far.
What has been a pain point? Because like, it's easy to paint a picture mm-hmm. of like, yeah, I moved to a new place and it's great and I'm meeting all these new people, but there is some trials and tribulations that come along with that,
yeah.
especially in the very beginning. So what are some of the fears that you've had? Maybe some of the things that on social media you don't share about moving to a new place where you really just don't know. You don't truly know anybody. You're meeting a lot of people. Yes. But you don't truly know people. So run us through like what you're thinking about and some of the things that you might've been struggling with leading up to the trip out here. And then also the first mm-hmm. month here.
So I think mentally, I've actually have been struggling since moving here. It's been moving away from family, friends, where it's so accessible to talk to people that you grew up with. It's super lonely and isolating moving to a brand new city where I'm no longer a car ride away from people. I'm no longer 30 minutes down the street, 10 minutes down the street from people I grew up with, from my mom and my dad. I'm 27 hours away, or I'm a plane ride away. That's not as accessible as driving. And it kind of hit me where I'm sitting in my own apartment and it's just me. And I think I had to come to terms with, okay, you know, this is my life now. how can I have to be able to accept what I'm doing and knowing that this is going to work out and I'm going to be okay. And as long as I keep moving forward and keep leaning into my mission as a person and growing as a person, doing uncomfortable things, everything will pan out, right? That's the law of attraction. You put into the universe exactly what you want and keep chipping away each day, that's going to come back in tenfold for you. And just telling that to myself every day keeps my mind at ease. And knowing that, you know, if it doesn't work out, it's okay. You know, that's life. It's all about learning. It's all about experiences. And I feel like I could get in my head a lot. And so, yeah, like that, the past 2 weeks moving here, that's like the biggest problems that I've tried to have to overcome for myself. Because if you're not mentally there, everything else is going to fall apart. And so, yeah, that was a big struggle for me.
When you find yourself like not mentally there, what is usually your go-to to get that mojo back?
So I think obviously lifting, running is a really big thing. That gives me really big clarity. I think that running helps me clear my mind, but lifting, I'm able to mentally be there, because running, you kind of like shut off your brain and just run miles. Lifting, you have to kind of be more present. You have to be focused on your form, focus on the lifts that you're doing. So I think it gives me two different types of things from running and lifting, but something that gives me huge relaxation is reading. I've been trying to read the Bible now from start to finish, doing Bible study to early in the morning, and really trying to lean into my faith as a person. I think that gives me clarity and gives me calmness early in the morning. And just that's like one of my biggest goals this year, is to lean into my faith as a person and meet people who also are into their faith.
I think it's important you mentioned that last part, because everybody knows the running and lifting and those things, yes, they're going to be great for our mental health, but I think it's the little things, like you said, for you, it's reading the Bible in the morning. It's the little things that really have a lasting impact on us when we feel a little bit mentally off. And it's something that I feel like anybody trying to do great things, like you're taking on a tall order and moving to a new place and saying and planting your flag that you want to do something big, it's going to come with the doubts and the fears and the imposter syndrome and moments where you're not sure of yourself. And the key is always to allow yourself to feel it, but to know that you can control that second thought and be able to instill habits that'll help you mitigate the amount of times that you have those feelings. And for me, lifting and running have been huge. And then something for me that I've noticed is, you mentioned looking for other people that are into their faith and surrounding yourself with them, is just showing up to different things, because it gives me an opportunity to like have a laugh or do different things. And by showing up to things, I mean like things that I wouldn't normally do.
Yeah.
So it's just like somebody invites me to something. Normally I'd say before child, I was showing up to a lot more, but speaking as somebody like yourself who is new to a city, it's, don't find yourself getting so ingrained in the business side where it's like the lifting and the running and whatever. It's like you mentioned, the faith group is like, find a group like that where there's no, I think, expectation. Yes. I think that's another thing, that the tough part about being a creator is turning off. Like somebody that has a job, a 9-to-5, generally can turn off. Yes, they get pinged with emails and other stuff, but when you're in our space, the internal pressure to always feel like you should be producing is there, and rather than just being here. And it's something that I'd love for you to just take away from this conversation. It's just like when you walk through those doors, something that has helped me and I think helped a couple of our other friends is like, we found ourselves getting ingrained into that community of lifting and running. And yes, it's great for your health, but doing other things that you could show up to that just are for fun and bring a smile to your face and are uplifting.
Yeah. A lot of my buddies who lived in Austin for a while, they said, as soon as you come here, try to say yes to everything. And, you know, do that for the first few months. And then you really find the group that you really resonate with. And then from there, you don't want to reach burnout because you can get swallowed up by the city, they're saying, but create boundaries from there. And then you create that median where you have a group that you love to hang out with, the people that recharge you mentally and recharge you physically, and being able to find that and then create the boundaries where you can also do your business and making sure that you are mentally aware and present.
Yeah, I love that advice. And it's interesting because you would think that other cities like New York and LA, like they're renowned for like you can get swallowed up in. But I think the difference with here is it's, there's just so much fun going on and so much like it, like, and it's not just the health and wellness space. I mean, if you're into arts, if you're into music, if you're into, there's so many different things.
Something for everybody.
Yeah. Like tech, especially. Yeah. There's just so much going on that every night of the week you could be doing something. And then before you know it, a year goes by and you're like, did I even like do anything that was like for me? Like what is really for me?
Yeah.
So it's definitely something that you're already thinking about. Like when you're here, like that's great. And that's massive. I'd love to go into what was the birth story of Higher Level? Like what caused you to not only start a brand, but to start a brand where you kind of done what I did with Thrive on Life, where when you name it something like that, mm-hmm. you're putting a target on your back where it's just like, you got to do stuff and you got to do stuff consistently and at a high level.
That's
the name. Why?
So Higher Level was birthed when I was in college. Inception has been 2 years now. I originally created the idea is I grew up playing sports. And I grew up playing football. I grew up playing baseball and that was my life. And coming from high school to college, I was going to play football in college at Westchester in Pennsylvania. I ended up getting injured. I had an L4, L5 herniated disc. I couldn't walk for 9 months. I had to lay down to eat my breakfast, my lunch, my dinner. It was a really crazy time in my life. And I would say it's like one of the darkest times of my life. And from there, I knew being out from football that long, you know, I wasn't going to come back and I needed something else to fulfill the fire in me. And I've always been super into fashion. I've always been super into fitness. So combining those two to create Higher Level was birthed, I would say, freshman year of college and trying to find manufacturing to people to help you build the company took years. And we had manufacturing where I would meet with people in New York, and these big manufacturing people, you know, they don't want to work with a small dog, right?
Yeah.
And it's like your MOQ is so small that they're like, yes, screw this, we're not going to work with you. And to find a manufacturing like that was took years. And then the way that I found it was I was coming out of a meeting in New York City. One of my buddies had a guy who used to work in Walmart, and he was on the ground in like China and Korea, and he would work with manufacturing from there. And that meeting in New York was for the person that we got set up with. And it fell through. We went through that. Yeah, we don't want to work with you. I come out. We're in the middle of the city. I was getting a bite to eat, I think at like Chipotle or something. And we come out and these two ladies were at the table. They were showing swatches of clothing. And we're like, we just come out of a meeting for manufacturing to develop products. Like, do you guys do anything like that? And she's like, actually, yeah, I own a manufacturing company out in China and she lives in Florida and I'm here meeting with a potential client. And from there we exchanged numbers and that gave me the chance to birth Higher Level and be able to build my product. We create high-end athleisure for people. So right now, this year, our biggest goal is to really lean into the running niche because that's what I do. And that's what a lot of people follow me for, and create a community where we can create clothing that helps people achieve, no matter if it's feeling good in the gym, feeling good at home, or being able to wear something that you can run your marathon in, that you can run your half marathon in, Ironman, and feel good while doing it. And people buy into the mission and vision of Higher Level because of me as a creator. And since 2 years starting this company, it's been a wild journey trying to scale and build as a small company. And that's like one of the main reasons why I moved to Austin, is to run activations, is to meet people who are doing the same thing so I can learn the ins and outs of growing a business. You know, I'm going to be honest, I'm not very business savvy, but I have the creative vision. I have the direction where I know where I want this company to go. It's just building stuff on the back end to help it grow. And yeah, so it's been 2 years, and then we started releasing stuff a year ago, and it's been an up and down journey developing products, R&D.
I mean, you followed the number one rule. I know you said you weren't business savvy, but you follow the number one rule in business is like, go to where your customers are.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about like, or like go to a place where you're going to attract more customers. So moving from where you were to here was like the very first step. And then the other part of that is team. And I know that, you know, that it's just like being around people that could be a part of your team. Like if you're not in an environment that helps you do that, whether digitally or in person, you have to be there. Mm-hmm. And I love that story you told. You met our buddy Yash. He loves serendipity. You need to tell him that story, because that's like such a serendipitous story. Moment. Where you're just like, man, I've been there so many times where you're just like, it's like you're clawing away and you just like can't see it.
Yes.
What you're trying to do. And then
just in the middle of New York, because we got denied from, I would say like five manufacturers before we met this lady. And I was like, holy shit.
What are the odds?
Yeah. Just getting denied and then meeting this lady. And she only works with really large companies as well. But she's like, it was the serendipity that you met me.
Energy.
Yeah. And she's like, that's why we took a chance on you. And they specialize in athleisure, and they specialize in creating fabrics that athletes use. So it was just like a perfect moment where like God was like speaking to me. I was like, let's do this. And it took 3 years for that moment to happen. And
you mentioned some of the things that you're working on now.
Yeah.
Like if all goes well over the next 6 months, mm-hmm. and we were to have this conversation 6 months from now, what would it look like both from like the athleisure standpoint and then the activation standpoint?
Yeah. Right now we're in the R&D of building running clothing. So we're in the R&D of building half tights. We are building cutoffs, singlets, and being able to really activate the community where people can use them for marathon running, half marathon running, and get into that space and create, I guess you could say, like a cult following in running. And I think 6 months from now, where we can run activations in each major marathon or get into larger marathons where we have a booth, we're selling our clothing there, and we can run like shakeout runs there and start hiring internally with athletes and people building the back end. And I think from there, that 6 month goal is super important for not only the growth of Higher Level, but being me growing as a person, you know, because it's honestly, it's just me right now in Higher Level. So being able to expand the team in the 6 month time is super important for me. And I'm just trying to figure out how to do that and how to do that in the right way where, you know, we're not draining money. And bringing people into the team, it's super important that they are into your mission, into your vision, because if not, people are there just for a dollar sign. They are a cancer to the company. Because I originally came into Higher Level with a partner, and I ended up having to buy him out because he didn't see the vision of where Higher Level was going as a company. And, you know, this stuff is not overnight successes. You know, it takes years to build companies. Like, look at Nick Barrett, dude. He's been in business for 12 years, and I think he got a little bit of wet feet And I was like, dude, this kid.
Have you ever heard of the, so I've said this on the podcast before, but like it takes paying tuition. You have to pay tuition business. Most people don't understand that.
Yeah.
It's just like college. Like you go to school for college and most people spend 4 or 5 years and $100,000. And they don't expect anything afterwards except for an opportunity.
Yeah.
You don't have a job after you spent $100,000 and after you spent the 4 or 5 years. There's no guarantee after that, but they do it in the blink of an eye and society tells you.
Yeah.
But if you do that in business, the funny thing is like, man, everybody, like if you're pretty sharp and you work hard and you're good at like connecting with other people, within like 2 or 3 or 4 years, you tend to start figuring business out. But then it's like the real game of business in my eyes is like once you're 5 years in and you've like kind of figured it out, well, now it's like time to actually start doing stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And like that's when the clock starts.
Yeah.
But most people never get to that 5-year, 6-year mark where the clock starts to give themselves. And then the other thing about business is like, and this is why I love it, is I'm assuming your first business, like first real go at it. Dude, you're going to learn so much with this first one that you like your real successes you can't even see yet because they're probably not higher level. They're probably like some type of product you thought of that you integrate into higher level or another business you start with someone else 10 years from now because you learn so much from higher level. That's how most cases are, but we never give ourselves a shot to do that. And you're hitting the nail on the head. Once the cancer is there, it's tough to get rid of. So the faster that you can, the way to like, it's just like actual health. It's the longer you delay cancer, the longer you're going to live. The longer you delay disease, the longer you're going to live. So it's kudos to you for seeing that right away. And then it's better to, I forget what the saying is, but it's better to like be on a ship alone than, I forget what it is. It's better to be alone than with the people that don't want to be there in the first place. So
It just destroys companies and it's, I just knew that if he wasn't the person I created the company with, doesn't want to do it. You know, this was the inception of my business that I created in college. So I guess he was just like a silent investor from there at that point. But yeah, it's always something to learn and develop as a person and being, you know, a CEO of a company. The end vision of being able to create something that's tangible for people to get behind, whether or not that be opening up a gym, opening up like a brick and mortar for the clothing line is I think super important for me, right? A lot of creators, a lot of entrepreneurs get into the social media space, but a lot of them don't have companies on the back end. They don't have like actual true things that people can show up to that they can go to. And I think that is where a lot of people lack. Because you can't do social media forever. I mean, like there is always going to be a fine line where you're going to have to develop and, you know, kind of pivot to another thing to make sure that, you know, you could still live your life and do what you're doing. And that's why I got into hopefully opening up a gym within the next year, 2 years for higher level and create something where people can come meet and just network and really truly find out what higher level is about.
What does that gym atmosphere look like in terms of what you're trying to build? Because you mentioned your target is runners right now, and then you're creating products that are solving problems for those runners. And I like the tights idea. I think there is a gap in that space in terms of building a brand that is community based, like, because none of the running stuff I don't really see. It's almost like you're blending like the gym culture with the running culture.
Yeah,
that's what it makes me think of, where it's like you have the gym culture where I can kind of riff off brands that are targeting certain types of people, but when it comes to running it just seems like the Wild West. Especially when it comes to higher level types of clothing for the running space. But what would a gym atmosphere look like for that, and who would you be trying to attract?
I think the people that would be trying to attract in our gym is people that are kind of in, I guess, like the high rock space, where people really enjoy being fit as a person whether that be, you know, running, lifting, doing some type of CrossFit. And a gym that is, I guess you could say, at a point like on it, pretty much is what higher level is. So I could paint the picture of on it. I went to on it when I first got into Austin, right? They have like 10,000 square feet. They have every machine that you could think of. They have turf, they have saunas, they have ice baths. Being able to create a community where they are to come for run clubs, they can come for coaching for CrossFit, they can come for coaching for bodybuilding, and really lean into that space of being a functional fitness person. I think that's where higher level is going to thrive, because that's truly what I do. Like we go to the gym, squats right now, you know, we go there, there's shirtless dudes, there's shoeless dudes, everybody's into functional fitness. And I think it creates that cool, like utopia, where this is something you're not going to get at a lot of gyms. And I think that's where I want to lean into. And the conceptualization of what higher level gym would be is, like, at the forefront, we'll be selling higher level clothing. You come in to the gym, we'll have all our machines, we'll have turf, stuff like that. And then on like the other side is, I want to create a coffee store. So being able to have caffeine where you could buy clothing and then come into the gym, I think it'd be really cool that we can develop and create within hopefully 2 to 5 year plan for higher level.
What's interesting is when I think about, like, I haven't noticed a kind of like gym atmosphere that has mastered the studio atmosphere, where they'll put like a smoothie bar in their gym. I know Lifetime Fitness has like a coffee bar in theirs, but they're a chain. So when you're thinking of one-off gyms and brands, I haven't really seen anybody master. I think to me, that's a great lead magnet. Mm-hmm. If you can get people to want to hang out at your space, that's huge.
Yeah.
And that's where I think,
like, co-working space.
Not necessarily co-working, because like Collective does that. There's CreateScape at Squatch, which is like across the parking lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, like a place to like go, like if you're gonna go to the coffee route, I think it's been half-assed in the past, mm-hmm. where it's not a main focus.
Yeah.
I think if you created a main focus where our place is going to be a place where like I would go to grab coffee with somebody else, and then an hour later I work out.
Yeah.
Rather than like I go and grab some canned coffee or quick coffee and then go do my workout and don't talk to anybody. That's kind of like what I mean. It's just like, how do you create that? It's not an easy thing. That's why most people don't do it. It's like, it's a tough thing to do. But how do you create that like hangout spot that's also a gym? It's like when you're thinking of a bar, like a bar is constantly thinking of, well, how do we get people to not just come to sit at the bar and buy 3 glasses of beer and wine or whatever, but how do we get them to hang around and then buy the nachos, and maybe they're playing cornhole, so they stay for another hour and therefore they buy 2 more drinks. It's like the gym space, I think, has so much room for like creating that utopia that isn't generic and chain based, more brand and community based.
Yeah.
There's still room in that area. So I think it would be cool to see that. And this is why I love podcasts, is like bringing people on that. Cause the first thing someone's going to say, and I'm going to be that person actually, just cause for shits and giggles, someone listens to this like, well, how the fuck are you going to do that?
Yeah.
How are you going to do what you just said?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't really truly have like a 5 year plan, right? I guess I would be developing it as we go. I don't have a business plan for it. So it's truly building a company since we're so early inception. It's every plan can change. And for us right now, I think it's trying to find something that our community completely resonates with. And then that's why it's a 2 to 5 year plan. It's far out, but
No, I love it, man. I was coming more from the point of nobody knows what they're doing.
Exactly.
So like having the idea, I'm reading this book right now, 10X is better than 2X.
Yeah.
And the main theme of the book is just like most people are doing are thinking 2x, therefore they do 2x action. Mm-hmm. So like a good example would be, let's see, I was talking to you about one of the things that I want to build with my wife, where we want to help pregnant women and new moms with their fitness, their nutrition, their mindset. And we're working on the business, but the business plan for that long term, and then also the initial product, and then how are we going to drive traffic to that initial product. And what I was talking to her about is like the difference between 2x and 10x is like 2x is, okay, we know we need to post on social media. We need to post on Instagram. We need to post on TikTok. Maybe we make some YouTube videos. We record some podcasts. That's 2x. 10x thinking is like, well, there's already brands out there, Women's Health, Goop, whatever, that have hundreds of thousands of women following them. Then what are the newsletters out there, or mommy bloggers out there, that already have the audience?
Yeah.
And then what value could we provide them so that we could collaborate and they would post us as, would post our product to their newsletter of 50,000 moms? What does that look like? Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between 2X thinking and 10X thinking. But school and how most people go through society, they just teach us to do the 2X thinking of like, yeah, do this thing, get this degree, here's the result, rather than being like, well, why can't I just fucking skip the line?
Yeah.
Like, well, the only way you can skip the line is if you in your head say, well, I want to open a gym. I don't necessarily know how I'm going to do it. But if you start saying every day, I'm going to open this gym and this is what it's going to look like, naturally, you're going to then put yourself in environments to learn how to do that and be around people that could help you do that. Mm-hmm. Rather, if you're like, oh, I can't even do this thing, then you're just lowering the belief, and then therefore it never happens in the first place. Yeah. So little rant right there, but like I wanted to make it clear, like I wasn't coming at you and expecting you to say how. You answered it in the way that I wanted. It was just like, I don't really know how, but it's forcing you to think in a way where good things are going to happen.
Exactly. It's like, you know, you always have vision boards, right? Where, you know, you're putting up a Porsche on the vision board, or you're putting up a Ferrari. You never know. I mean, people have like a very strict 2 to 5 year plan, 10 year plan. But when people put these really big, ambitious goals, a lot of people in these spaces are just shooting in the dark, right? They're seeing what sticks, what doesn't stick. And then they find out, like you said, and works from there, and they can, you know, work backwards from it. And then they'll find out how they can get the Porsche, how they can get the Ferrari, or build a gym. It's all about, you know, the entrepreneur process and building as a person. As a CEO of a company, it's not an easy thing to do. And I think it's very like glorified in today's day and age of social media. Everybody wants to be a CEO of a company. Everybody wants to build this and that, but it's, you know, long nights, and people are that's why not a lot of people do it, you know? And
you talk about at the end right there about being the type of person that can do it. I was having a conversation yesterday where we were talking about the difference between standards and goals, and why maybe looking at the framework of having standards and what are your standards is a better frame for everybody to look at, rather than saying like, what's goals? Because when we're talking about standards, like what standard does Joey have to live at to make his dreams come true? It's not necessarily the goals. It's like, who do you have to be and become to make the gym happen, to make higher level happen? Yeah. That is really what I think is not shown and perceived well through social media. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to get people. I mean, this is why so many people still come at Nick Bear. Like, it's so hard. Like, he can only say, I wake up early, I do the hard things every day, so many times, and people still are looking for a corner of like, well, how is he doing this? It's like, no, you set a standard of yourself every day. You wake up and you either do or you don't hit that standard.
Yeah.
And if you hit that standard over 1,000 days, over 10,000 days, over 20,000 days, you're probably going to hit a lot of fucking goals.
Yeah. Compounded and consistency right there.
Yeah.
Just showing up for yourself and showing up. And that's why mission is so important, for knowing why you are doing a certain something. So many people can, whether or not that be social media, in person, people could talk so much shit about you, but you know that you're operating in good faith. You know, you're operating and a good mission where people are getting behind you, everybody's always going to have something to say because they operate from a place where they can't see themselves doing it. So they're just going to project it onto you as a person that's actually doing something. So that's why I think that no matter what people say to me, whether that be if I get like hate comments on YouTube, on TikTok, on Instagram, or people are saying stuff behind my back, you know, it's okay. You know, it's they can't operate or see themselves doing it. So their perceptions of what they think is going on. But
yeah, you just don't, man, I just don't have enough time. I have enough on my plate already. Yeah. I don't have the time of day to like pay attention to what other people are doing. I don't know how people do have time to pay attention. It's, it's really just, it goes back to that. Everything is mindset and, and mental, what you were talking about. What is Joey's personal goals? So when it comes to like fitness and like living a higher level life, let's take the business out of it. And the other things you were talking about, but are you looking to run a certain race? Are you looking to lift a certain weight? Are you looking to coach 1,000 people this year? Like what personally is firing you up right now?
So if you've been following me for any type of time, you know that I've been trying to run a sub 3 hour marathon for the past like 2 years. I've ran 5 marathons. I ran originally was the BPN marathon. I ran like a 3:32 there. And then we went into like a very strenuous, like 8 month prep. I worked with a guy named Jeff Cunningham. We prepped for Indianapolis and we came to race day. It was super windy, super rainy. On the back end of the race, I ended up running a 3:07. And then a few months later, I ran Houston, and Houston ended up being one of the hottest starts in like the past 5 to 8 years. And then I ran a 3:02 there. And then another month later, I ran a 3:07 in Jersey City. So it was like insane preps back to back. And that is something that's really been in my head for a long time because I've been riddled with kind of injuries in my foot, my IT band. And I'm just trying to get back to where I can actually do a full prep without having any discomfort or carrying a lot of injuries from my past preps, because I think it fried my CNS, my central nervous system, and I just can't hold mileage the way I could for Jersey City or Houston. I was running Jersey City prep. I was running like 70 miles a week. My easy mileage was 11 miles a day. So that's something that's been in my head for a really long time. And I think I'm going to be running Chicago this year, and that's where we're going to be breaking sub 3. And then from there, like physical goals, I want to be going into the ultra space. I've never done it before. I'll probably do a 50 miler, then a 100 miler. And then if my body can handle it, we'll go into an Ironman prep. But that's all if I can stay.
Not if. You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
When?
Be injury free. That's the biggest thing for me. And doing all these types of preps, I think the biggest goal for me is to stay in a mental headspace where I know who I am as a person and not let like imposter syndrome kind of like fuck with me, and just showing up for myself and knowing that I can do the things that I'm saying that I'm doing. Cause like you said, it's a tall task. And so that's something that's super, that fires me up a lot for this year. And then just growing in my faith and growing with my girlfriend. Hopefully she'll move down here in the next few months, and just growing my roots here and just like expanding as a person and as an entrepreneur.
We're getting close to the point of wrapping up here. And at the end of every episode, like towards the end of every episode, I give just the opportunity to let you kind of just like freewheely talk about like who would be perfect business partner, who would be your best customer, some of the things you're doing, like literally whatever direction you want to take it in, and like talk about of what you're doing, what you're up to, the run clubs, and really just give you a space to like self-promote. And then that way at the other end, if somebody else is interested in this, they can connect with you. So wherever you want to take this, feel free. There's no time limit. So whatever you want to talk about.
Well, first off, I just want to say thank you to the podcast. It's been super awesome talking to you, learning about you, letting me tell my story to you and your audience. And I think my biggest goal is this year is to talk in PR for so people can learn more about me. I'm not going to like promote any of my companies. I think that for people listening to this podcast, if you guys are on the verge of making a big step in your life or doing something that scares you to death, you're in the right spot. And just to lean in that as a person and knowing what your mission is, everything is going to work out. And I wouldn't be here today if I didn't do that. So I just appreciate you and appreciate everything that you've done for me and being able to speak on this podcast.
Hell yeah. I love that. Appreciate you coming on the show today. And for those that don't know, like Joey came to Squatch. I met him. We were hanging out with Noah one day, and just anybody that has really good energy. One of the first things I love to do is just like podcast and always help try to promote them, mm-hmm. not just here in Austin, but other places, and see who can get connected with them. Cause I just know how important it is at the start of anybody's journey, especially with Thrive. Like when people were doing that for me, it was something that I never took for granted. I wanted to pay it forward. So I appreciate you driving out here today, having this conversation. If somebody loved the podcast here today, what is the best way for them to get in contact with you?
You guys can find me on socials through Joey Schultz 101 is my Instagram. TikTok, Joey Schultz Fitness. Pretty much just look me up on either of those. You'll find my stuff and all my links to like my clothing Higher Level. And then, yeah, pretty much everything funnels to each other. So you can just look me up from there.
Last question I always ask everybody is, if you were to define the word thriving, how would you define it?
Living in a mental capacity where you are balancing fitness and mental health and feeling good, thriving.
Balancing fitness and mental health. I always talk about the biggest takeaway at the very end of the show. And for me, it kind of happened in the beginning when we were talking about what do you do when you're struggling, like in a mental headspace. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned leaning into your faith and reading the Bible. And that's like the thing that you do.
Yeah.
The reason that's my big takeaway is I had already touched on it, but it just made me think how different everybody is and how much, if I were to ask other people that how to respond to that, yes, again, probably fitness would fall in line with it somewhere, but we all have an innate ability to know what we need most. Mm-hmm. And it's not always going to be the same thing. And maybe at a different point in your life, it's something else. And I think it's very important for anybody listening to this to understand that if you don't find yourself in the right mental headspace, that you need to figure out what it is for you. You can't have somebody else tell you like you need to do this. A good example for myself is I saw someone talking about if you're in a bad mental headspace, like wake up earlier and then like go work out. Mm-hmm. And while yes, that does help me, a lot of times that raises cortisol and then actually distracts me from what I really need in the morning most times, which is just like calmness and clarity for the first 20 minutes of my day to just get myself situated, especially dealing with the autoimmune disease that I have. So you can't take everybody's advice to heart for yourself. And I loved how you respond to that, which is like, this is what I do and has been seeming to help me. And I think everybody needs to go about life in that N=1, figuring out what helps you when times are tough. It's not going to be a blueprint solution for everybody else. So I love how you put that. And I wanted to end on that note here today. If you enjoyed this podcast, please save and share this episode with somebody else that could benefit from it. Let's get Joey and his brand Higher Level out there to other people that connect with it. Give us that 5-star rating review. That's one of the best things you can do to help us get seen by more people. And until next time, this is CJ Finley with the Thrive on Life podcast. Thrive on, y'all.
What's up, y'all? This is CJ again. And on behalf of the small team here at Thrive on Life, I'd like to thank you for listening to one of our episodes. Our mission in life is to help people like you fuel your passion and make every heartbeat count. And we realize the best way to do this is together as a team. So we'd love for you to join in on this mission and connect with like-minded individuals within our Thrive on Life community. To do so, please head to thriveonlife.com and connect with us there. We'd love to chat with you. Before I sign off, I'd like you to always remember one thing. When we strive together, we thrive together. So please do your part in helping others thrive on life.